on inaugural day of yesteryear, March the 4th, 1957. And today we're going to inaugurate control. Nobody else is going to inaugurate anybody. We're going to inaugurate something. Control. Exclamation point. Now, already seeing, looking around here, that some of this has already taken root. I know at least one or two people have begun to suspect that control exists as a word in the English language. And that's real advance, because control to America, and to, I am afraid, the greater part of the British Empire this time, is a word which has been given a prefix, and that prefix is bad. It's been given a suffix, and that's worse. So you have bad, worse control as being the, or bad control worse, or worse control bad, as associatives. And this is a slave master mechanism. And if you ever conceive it to be anything else, then you's heading for the chute too. Obsessive control only comes about through inability to control. Failures in control. Consistent and continual failure to control gives one then the feeling that to control is to fail, to control is to die, to control is to have horrible things happen. Now, control is a game's condition. It is a game's condition. It's not a good fading condition to mount anything, but that is what life happens to consist of. Life consists of communication, control, and havingness. And when it consists of much else, it isn't life. Now, if control is successful, then it ceases to be bad control. Now, let's wrap this all up in a nice, small package and comprehend it as something that is not incomprehensible, first and foremost. When control is a consistent and consecutive failure, it becomes bad control. You understand? It also becomes obsessive control. The inability to control something causes one to press harder and harder and harder in the direction of trying to control it, don't you see? And therefore, an unknowing game's condition arrives in that state, and you're expected to know all about game's conditions as laid out in Scientology Fundamentals Thought and more so. Arrives at that state through failed controls. All right, we try to control a street sweeper. Person's sweeping the streets and everything's going along. We can't get this person to sweep the gutters too. This is the way government goes. So they pass all sorts of regulations with regard to the street sweeper. They try to make selective entrance examinations for street sweepers. They do all sorts of novel and interesting things to make sure that only the best men are sweeping streets. See, we've got to get perfection here in terms of personnel because we aren't getting the gutters swept. And then one day, we realize that we're never going to get the gutters swept, no matter how much duress, selective service, pay, or anything else. So now we're going to have to sweep the gutters ourselves. Fellow tries to get some books kept in an organization. He can't get the books kept. He can't get the books kept. In other words, he's trying to control somebody in an effort to get books kept. And he fails to do this. And he eventually controls it himself. Now, what does this amount to? That failed control amounts to interiorization. The consequence of failed control is interiorization into that area or beingness. One becomes that which he fails to control. You got that? Because if you've got that, you've got everything you need to know about the exteriorization and interiorization of thetans into life, bodies, telephone poles, and wrecked cars. Got it? Now, what is an engram in suspension but an interiorization into the incident and therefore into the mental image picture? If one can't handle his mental image pictures, and if these do not obey, and they do not, wherever they mirror, fail control, then eventually one begins to feel that he cannot handle his mental image pictures, and he gets such a far departure from this fact that eventually he is not willing to handle any mental image pictures, or even willing to admit they exist. And you get the state of psychology today. The best they can do with a mental image picture is to say there is such a thing as eidetic recall. You talk about a weak statement. And into that chasm had to drive Dianetics. Failure to control the picture. But what does this mean? This means that somebody who was stuck on the track is interiorized into a picture at a particular segment of time. And when he is stuck at a particular segment of time, that means he was interiorized into a picture. Well, how did he get interiorized into the picture? Well, there are lots of things. There's such a thing as a mystery sandwich and all of this sort of thing. A thetan is a mystery sandwich, really. He's there's thetan mystery picture or thetan mystery body. But what was the mystery? What's the basic mystery? How the hell didn't I control it? How come I failed? What is this all about in terms of control? There must have been something here I did not want not of. There must be some other factor here I am not controlling, because I certainly failed to control this situation, and that's what I am doing here, but what is it? And this curiosity of what was there to be controlled, and how does one go about controlling it, and how impossible it is to control it, and is control necessary, eventually develops there. Is control necessary? One really doesn't have to control it anyhow, does he? Why take responsibility for that thing, and after that, why take responsibility for anything? These all sort of follow as a natural consequence. And you get at length a 1957 citizen. He's interiorized into all the dynamics without any ability to control any of them. He doesn't even know what they are. Now, the first necessity for to control is isness. And if you can resolve isness, you resolve control. Now, we know that, but you would have to have some security about controlling it before one can bring himself to admit that there is an isness. This dodge back from a good state of case, which you sometimes see, you sometimes be auditing somebody, and he all of a sudden gets in terrific condition, and then go out of terrific condition just like that, boom, bang. He has a great revelation of some sort. Then Graham moves through. He's caught in a fly trap on a whole track or something of the sort. And he's got this great revelation, and something terrific has occurred here, and all that sort of thing. And he doesn't stay that way. Well, why doesn't he stay that way? He obviously has the ability to be that way if anything around can whisper something to him and make him be that way. Do you understand that? I mean, the engram never bees anything, but the thetan can be the engram. The thetan can be suddenly better just by having an engram collapse on him, which is one of these manic engram situations. He naturally has the ability to be that much better. Well, why does he withdraw from that? Well, that's too much isness as far as he's concerned. It's an uncontrollable situation, and he is faced by too many uncontrollables, and so he disadmits the isness. He says the isness ain't. That's his favorite method of getting out of control, is to not is, declaim, cast away, throw aside, discount, and have nothing to do with. If he has any possible control over something, then he will admit it's isness. And, you know, isness, just the way it is in creation, human ability. It's just the isness. Something is or it isn't. Well, how does it get to be both of these things at the same time? What is not isness? Not isness is an isness which the person conceives himself unable to control, unlock, or do anything about, and so he not is it. So not isness is the immediate consequence of the recognition of failure to control. A game becomes an unknowing game's condition only when one has failed in the factors of control. Now, the primal answer, you understand, is isness. But how do you get there? What knocks isness out? Now, you could say to somebody, look at the wall. Is there a wall there? And the fellow says, yes. If he admits there's a wall there, if he can really tolerate a wall being there and so forth, he gets into better shape right away. He's in present time. Now, old step 7 of SOP 8 was very interesting. We asked somebody to look around and find something that's really real to him. Every once in a while, somebody would clutch it to his bosom and be awfully sane, and everything would be wonderful thereafter. What was this little funny mechanism? A girl was asked this by an auditor, California auditor too, and asked this by this auditor and said, look around, find something really real to you, you know. Preclear, strictly fruitcake, all ready to be stuffed and sold for Christmas, and Preclear saw a sugar bowl, a little silver sugar bowl. Went over to it, looked at it, let out an ecstatic cry, and pressed it to her bosom, fondled it, and wouldn't give it up. What was sane after that? One item. Quite interesting. That is the result of isness. But how do you get there? Huh? What makes a person deny isness? Well, the bridge answer is control. The bridge answer is control. Isness can exist if a person can, to some slight degree, control something. Now, he doesn't have to go on controlling it. That is an obsession. To have to control something morning, noon, night, all week, and Saturdays too, like you do a body, is an obsession. Therefore, we consider interiorization into a body as a non-optimum condition if it exceeds the preclear's power of choice to exteriorize. Well, the only way he gets stuck in a body is his failure to control bodies. Now, you can blow somebody out of his head by just running this dichotomy. This is occasionally. I mean, it doesn't work in every case, because sometimes your preclear never does it. You know, these are these subjective auditing commands that very often don't work because your preclear doesn't run them. Quite interesting. You ask this fellow to mock up a cat, and he conceives a horse and says yes. Well, he never tells you that he conceived the horse, you see. And you, sitting there as the auditor, think he mocked up a cat. He didn't. And you will say, well, mocking up cats doesn't work in this case. But the fellow has yet to mock up a cat. You wouldn't know that. So these subjective type commands very often break down, fail. Engram running quite often fails, even on a preclear that should have been able to run engram, simply because the preclear never did what the auditor told him to do. Here again you have this control factor entering into the running of control. And here you have it very directly, Q&A. You ask the preclear to run this dichotomy. Get the idea you can control this body. Get the idea you can't control the body. Get the idea you can control the body. Get the idea you can't control the body. Just back and forth, and he'll blow out of his head. If he runs it. Quite interesting. A much more certain way of getting a preclear out of his head is keep his head from going away. And that blows him. It'll make somebody who's on an obsessive kick like that do a bunk, too, occasionally. And just as he's passing Arcturus way, you will be pleading with him to come back and pick up the mock-up. You object to dead bodies being left in the auditing room. And you are then there called upon to bring a resurrection into being. And this may be a bit above your Christliness, but better not be, because you'll have a dead body lying there if you don't resurrect him. You got to whistle him back. interesting and amusing case of that happening one time. I just passes. I was speaking of somebody begging the prickler to come back. He'd asked the prickler to be 3 feet back, and he said the next thing he knew, why the prickler's body just slumped in the chair like a pan of butter. You know, it's sort of gone, dead. Gone. Flop. Be 3 feet back again. Flop. And he said, well, think of your children. Think of your children. Think of your children. I have no mother. Girl, pretty quick, I remember. Think of your children. I have no mother. Think of your poor husband. You have no wife. Think of how much the society needs you. And, well, just come back for society's sake. Come back, you know. Totally irresponsive body, you know, just say that. Come on back for your children. Come on back. And he went through these things and begged and pleaded. For your father, for your mother. No response at all. And finally he says, well, please, then come back for your poor auditor. The preacher came back. Picked the body up and went its way. Well, now, this control factor is something which has been with us here for a long, long while as an understood thing, but we never understood it to the degree that we do today. We've known that this dichotomy of can and cannot control, and in old ridge running, the ability of the Thetan to control the body was very often manifested, and when it did, then the preacher would exteriorize. And we've done a lot of things with control, but not until recently, not until the last year, are we coming up to the degree that we can see control's relationship in interiorization and exteriorization. A person will interiorize into those things to some degree, at least to the degree of a mental image picture, which causes him to fail in control to some degree. Fellow gets into a steam shovel he's been controlling for years, and he pulls the lever that lifts the bucket, and the bucket depresses. Well, you'll find him in there fighting that steam shovel for quite a while. There's just a little example of interiorization. He will fight around with the steam shovel, and if he's pulled off the steam shovel and told he mustn't control the steam shovel, in other words, the manufacturers will send out somebody to repair the steam shovel, something on this order, you will find the guy worrying and fussing and fuming about his steam shovel all night and going through an interesting state of rationale. Now, you get a broken down automobile breaks down. Why the devil people play around with broken machinery must have been perplexing to you at one time or another. You've seen somebody playing with something that's obviously so busted that nobody would ever be able to put it back together again, and yet they keep monkeying with it, monkeying with it, monkeying with it. Well, now, add that to the fellow, let's take, for instance, an electronics man keeps around every tube, part, an electronics man who does this, is simply interiorized into, to some slight degree, every piece of equipment that didn't work. Electronics is a new subject, and many, many things don't work. And when somebody starts this kick of saving every single item that has ever passed through his hands, and just accumulates room after room of just junk, 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 it's no good for anything, you know. He couldn't even melt the wire and get any copper out of it. It's all made out of cast iron anyhow. And what's that boy doing? Well, it tells you that he's failed, 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 failed to control electronic items. And here in a new subject, you always to some degree get this phenomenon. The way is not clear. Pioneering is still in progress. And you'll here and there find people getting pretty interiorized into a situation. And in auditing, an auditor who's had too many failures has a tendency to sit around and gloom and even start self-auditing or something like that. Well, he didn't fail on his own case. He failed on Freeclear. But He then picks up this thing called the valence, and he seeks to control the preclear's valence by retaining the preclear's bank in some fashion or other, and going on and running it and mauling around with it and fooling with it. Of course, this is also must be taken with the idea that this is not always a serious condition. You ask somebody, for instance, whose bank wouldn't you mind having? Or you find out he's in his mother's valence, and you ask him to tell me a bank of comparable magnitude. This is a Scientologist. He sometimes has to think for minutes before he will finally come up with another bank that would be as good as, in terms of complication and upset and mismanagement, as his mother's, you see. And he'll eventually get one, however. And you could slip him in and out of valences rather rapidly this way, by the way. But it takes a Scientologist. What are you profiting from? You're profiting from all of his understanding of what he's doing anyhow. You know? This isn't something you could run on a preacher that you'd pick up cold because he just wouldn't understand what you were doing. Give me a bank of comparable magnitude. It's nice. It's an interesting process for slipping somebody out. But why would this work? Well, you're just getting him to consent to the isness of the situation. See? There are other banks. You have quantity, and so therefore you're getting quantity, your abundant scarcity level. Your havingness is changing in that particular regard. And what do you know? To a marked degree, havingness will overthrow control. Yeah, there's more than one valence it would be interesting to be interiorized into. And the second he realizes that the havingness factor shifts, then his control ideas are liable to shift, too. It's quite fascinating that havingness can, but remember this modification, to some degree, modify control. You understand that? For instance, if you had guns that could fire 1,000 shots a minute, just spray them all over the horizon, and they were big guns, your necessity of controlling one slug would not be as great until you get what the U.S. Army does these days. The U.S. Army's been talking for years and years and years about volume of fire. Volume of fire. This gets around everything, you know. Hell, it does. One well-controlled bullet can do more than a regiment throwing out a volume of fire. But they've got this idea, you see. That shows you these ideas are associated and connected, at least. Now, it's an odd thing that havingness is influenced, as I've said, by control. A person will not have things, if he can help it, over which he has totally no control. He just doesn't like that. Furthermore, control is influenced by havingness. A person feels he doesn't have to exert as much control if there's a lot of them, like volume of fire. All right, we take this volume of fire idea, and whereby the idea itself is no more accurate than volume of fire is intended to be accurate, we are nevertheless persuaded to an interrelationship between havingness and control. Quite neat how these two things go together. Now, the essence of control is communication, and the essence of isness is communication. You let something exist, in other words, be, so long as you can, with any degree of security, communicate with it. But when you find you can no longer communicate with it, you are not quite so comfortable about letting it be. You see that? And if you can't communicate with it at all in one fashion or another, you can get quite frantic about it. One of the best ways in the world, if you're a government, to get yourself utterly destroyed is to just fail to keep your doors wide open to the public. All you have to do is shut those doors, lock those gates, lock up all the gates down at the White House, get a bunch of fast-talking young men who sit inside offices to grab any interview you want to have with anybody in the government and make nothing out of it fast. derail everything, never acknowledge a letter that the public writes you, accept from them nothing but cold, hard cash, and do that, if possible, with great duress of no communication. Always put out bulletins as to how they're to pay their taxes, so incomprehensible that they aren't communication. You just want to get yourself just royally hated sometimes, the government, and eventually overthrown, pitched into the gutter. Why, by all means, block the control factor. You got that? Now, if you as an auditor wish to get yourself into a great deal of trouble with your pre-clears, plural, refuse to communicate with them after the fact of auditing. That's a championship way to break a practice up. You say, well, that old gal is loopy and I don't want to have anything more to do with her and therefore I won't see her anymore. And you say, this is the best way to have no more trouble with this old gal. Hey, this old gal, and she's 99 years old and she's been crazy since she was two and you audited for 2 hours and didn't resolve the case. You say, I don't want anything more to do with her. And that way I will have no more trouble with her. And that is the downfall of every Thetan since the beginning of time. The best way to further prevent trouble is to cut communication. A Thetan does this on the postulate that there is an insecurity or an unsafe situation into which a Thetan can get. And of course that's not possible. So he has to make this statement that I talked to you about in the last lecture, that he has to protect or safeguard before he gets this other computation. No, the way to handle this poor old gal who's 99 and been spinning since she was two, I very much am afraid, is contained in communication with terrific control. If you add having this, you got auditing. In an auditing room with the session going. But if you don't want an auditor, I'll tell you exactly how to get into the deepest trouble with her, and that is to cut communication. Eventually, she sort of disappears, but she always kind of hangs around in the air. You get the idea? This situation is not handled. You didn't handle her. Then you get some 79-year-old tobacco-chewing, didn't-smell-good, pre-clear man that cussed and swore and blew up in your face every time you turned around, and you say, I don't want any more communication with him. And 3 years later, you start to chew tobacco. Get the idea here? In other words, communication is a universal solvent. Everybody believes it is. But the funny part of it is that there is no havingness without it. So it's also the universal haver. Well, how can one have anything? How can one continue to have anything? Well, the bridge between the two seems to be control. Unless one has some control over an object, one will have a hard time having it. There must be some slight control, or at least willingness control, or feelingness control over it. For instance, let's take this vast monument of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and I think Delano Franklin Roosevelt, and Teddy Roosevelt, and in other words, the Roosevelt dynasty in America that got some Borglum gutted out of a mountain out here, and some mountains out in North Dakota, or South Dakota, or Central Iowa, or wherever it was. And we say, well, that's permanent. One day Gutzon Borglum found out that he didn't have any more control over what went up on that memorial, that Mount Rushmore memorial, than a pebble in it. He was being pushed around on the subject of it. His concept of it was being abused. He was being run off sideways, and the general park itself was being replanned. There was a whole lot of trouble involved in this whole thing. You ever saw a man blow up and get upset? It was bad for his case. And yet you say, well, he certainly could have that forever. No, the fact that he couldn't continue a tiny little bit of control over it, you see. This fact all by itself was enough, just to throw him. Well, how about the U.S. citizen? He looks at the monument there, and he says, well, that's quite a monument, and so forth. You know that he wouldn't see it at all if he didn't feel that he would at some time in the future have a say-so as to whether or not it was disposed of or not, or moved or changed in some fashion. Now, if we set that up and everybody got used to that memorial and people went up there, I think there is the first week in August, I think you can get up into that part of the country without freezing your head off. Now, if you went up there and you liked this, you liked this a lot, and then somebody in the National Park Service, oh, somebody who's employed, he'd been sweeping out the offices of the J.P. Morgan Company or something of the sort. He's, you know, very capable man. And he was made chief of the entire National Park Service. I think that's the way they do it. All of a sudden decided that he was going to surround this thing with barbed wire fences. And he was going to put in striped red, white, and blue trash cans on top of each one of the statues. And he decided he'd rather have them in full color anyhow. And so they decided they'd paint the whole works. And the only reason he's doing all this is because some company that he's connected with is now going to get a percentage of it doing the work. You know, but you heard about this. You'd be upset. You'd be upset. In other words, somebody could change this thing around without your say-so. Now, supposing you found out that you had no say-so at all over it. No protest you made to your congressman, no protest you made in writing statement or excitement of any kind or another prevented this tremendous erosion and destruction and interference with the isness of this particular memorial. Supposing you discovered that you could have no effect upon that at all. You know, to disappear, as far as you're concerned, if you really decided you could have no effect on it. Although it might still be there, you wouldn't see it. You certainly wouldn't go to see it anymore. Just take that as one point. But if you did see it, I mean, it would have a tendency not to be. You understand? Something has been too much changed. Now, do you know that you can make a child's toys disappear? Give him a train for Christmas, let him play with it for 2 hours just to find out that it exists, and then you play with it the rest of the day, and then tell him how to play with it, and you situate it someplace, and you lay the tracks yourself, and you set up all the switches yourself, and so forth. And you wonder, why is it that Johnny comes in at the door, falls over the tracks, and so on, never seems to see that train sitting there, certainly never plays with it, uses maybe the engine for a hammer. He needed to pound the nail one day, and the engine was lying there, and he used it for a hammer, and he broke it. He doesn't seem to be upset as to how come the engine gotten broken. Well, that's because the control of the object was wrested from Johnny's hands, and he, in his effort to continue his control over it, continue to play with it, was continually balked, and his consistent failures in the thing then mounted up to a not-isness of the situation. Now, his not-isness takes the form of breaking it up. But I'll tell you something very funny. In his bank, he is stuck to a marked degree in that present. He's stuck in there. It'll be an upsetting thing to him. You'll be running him sometime or another. You all of a sudden have a stuck picture of a railroad locomotive. You say, well, this man didn't care. Ah, but there's no such thing. There's below apathy. He could be below apathy about it. He is stuck in this thing. He tried to control this present he was given. It was changed too much for him. Two things happened. Visually, it not is his. And in the bank, he interiorizes into it. Now, that is the history of a thing. That is his history. That is the basic game he plays. Then we have a process known as CCH. Procedure CCH, rather. It's a procedure. And that is communication with the exertion of control on happiness results in tremendous case gains for the preplanner. Why do we set this up this way? That's because it's a power package. It's a tremendous combination of factors. There isn't very much going to get in this road and remain in one piece. Communication, exerted control, and happiness. Those three factors are just almost perfect combination of auditing. They handle the existence of things. They handle the considerations of those things, because those considerations are monitored by the doingness or control of those things. And this is accomplished by communication about those things. And if you handle this way, you can rehabilitate one's ability to conceive the isness of things, to control things, which is to say, and goes without saying, take responsibility for them. Responsibility is part of control. And you make it possible for him to communicate not only on the subject, but with those items. Now, if we tell all children to keep themselves safe from automobiles, and then later on give them driver's licenses, they're going to have wrecks. Why? Because they were never drilled into a control of automobiles, and the isness of the automobile is pretty thin. So the combination is let's break up the automobile, which is not, is it, crudely in some fashion. Let's see automobiles much less clearly. And let's not communicate with them any more than we have to. But let's get into them and go to work every morning. This doesn't make sense. So that it doesn't make sense on the traffic toll records either. But what automobile is the least controlled of all automobiles? Well, it's the other fellow's automobile. That is not controlled at all. If you don't have any power over police regulation, if you don't have any say-so as a citizen in the community concerning what will be licensed and what won't, when you cannot affect yourself a more sentient and reliable program of licensing cars and drivers, and you can have nothing to do with changing traffic laws, rules, codes, stop signs, and that sort of thing, and under and over limits, when you can't establish these things at all, the other fellow cars disappears. And you get this great oddity of everybody in the society driving one car, his own, and being aware of one car, his own, and all other cars not being there. Now, by golly, if you want to really put something on automatic, that would be the way to do it. Not provide any method of controlling anything more than one particle. Now, if you just prevent all other particles than one from being controlled in any way, you've done it. So, we have that great organization. I won't get sarcastic. Now, I've been talking too sarcastically in this lecture already, so I'll be very, very light on the situation. Anyway, this crowd of bums, the Roman Catholic Church, has invented one that you must do unto others the way you'd have them do you in. You must love thy neighbor, and under no circumstances must ever do anything except so-and-so. And at all times communicate with a God who is totally space. That's best. Don't have any heaviness there. And you can't do anything with God, and he wouldn't do anything you wanted him to do, but he's up there to kind of punish you somehow or another, and only he isn't there. Look at this mechanism. One of the wildest mechanisms you ever wanted to look at. Now, from mechanisms of that character, we get the idea that when we see somebody going down the street and doing something wrong, as far as we're concerned, going in a loopy fashion or falling into the gutter or something of the sort, we should have nothing to do with him. Where the devil did that idea come from? A total irresponsibility for your fellow man. You would be utterly fascinated at what happens when you do take responsibility for another person who is stumbling up and down the street, or when you take a small crowd of people standing around a collision or something of the sort, and you immediately start doing things on a good CCH level. Wow. They never saw anything like this before. They just fall into line. You don't exist. Men who can control things are no longer alive. The society doesn't have them anymore. If they find out about you, they're likely rather nasty about it, but at the same time, they wouldn't have a chance if you could really CCH the situation. You see? You could take control of a situation. And everybody says, well, should you? Well, you say, well, if you do control things which are in your immediate vicinity, then you're interrupting the self-determinism of others. Let me show you something. If you can find any self-determinism where control is needed, then of course it would be very bad. But you won't find any self-determinism there to interrupt. Comes under the heading of what self-determinism? Now, what is the value of knowing about control? What is the value of this? Well, I'm just asking you to climb a hill straight up and vertical and slick all the way with no spike shoes over everything which has disabused you of the idea that you should run good, solid, certain, start, change, and stop on everything you're connected with. And all of these things say, no, no, you shouldn't do that. But if they say that, they say, no, no, we don't exist. That's all we're asking you to do in this unit, is just fly into the teeth of 76 trillion years of education in not controlling things. But you might as well fly into the teeth, because there's no other way to run. You understand that? 99.4451% of your bank will argue with you over these control factors when you first begin. You say, what? You mean, you'd be surprised that if you were doing a wide instruction job as instructors at the academy, how many people utterly flinch at the idea of putting their hands on their fellow man? This is something we must not do. I don't know, what do we got here? 170 million untouchables? Well, you'd think so when you start teaching people heavy control auditing. All right. Now, the ability, the willingness to start, change, and stop. Both of those things, the ability and the willingness, but remember, it's the willingness that monitors the ability. To start, change, and stop objects and things and people and stuff monitors your ability to a marked degree to have these things. Also monitors your ability to communicate with isness. And if you're to be able to conceive of the universe and have it or be free of it one way or the other, I'm afraid that control is part of the answer and havingness is the other part. Havingness monitors control, control monitors havingness. We actually have a little triangle here, which really isn't a triangle in the CCH thing. In these three factors, you can have something if you can communicate with it. You won't be willing to communicate with it unless you at least have some notion that there's some control involved concerning it. Now, you won't control things unless they're there, or you can communicate with them. So we get an interactive triangle. Quite amazing in its simplicity. Let me sum up this whole thing in a very, very, very new technique. It is a technique which is peculiarly fitted to procedure CCH. And this technique is so simple that it would, of course, evaded everybody. But it is a technique which at once spreads one's anchor points out quite remarkably. Once permits somebody to conceive all sorts of new vistas which he had not before conceived. And that is simply look around the room and find something you could control. look around the room and find something, of course, that's havingness, and you could control the rest of it. You'll find his ability to run trail. This goes up like a skyrocket. Now, that is the, you might say, central process of procedure CCA. Look around the room and find something you can control. All right, now what is the peculiar ability of using control? What does control do? What is this? What rehabilitation would control bring about if you use nothing but control on a free clear? Of course, you couldn't use nothing but control. You would also have to have communication. And you couldn't skip havingness because he is havingness. But what if you just did nothing but insist that the free clear execute the exact order given? And with good ARC, without getting mad at him or misemotional in any way, you simply, no matter how manually, with your hands and your shoulder, crowded him over and made him do these things. And what if you did nothing but that? Well, I am afraid it is your inability to be that manual that keeps you from making psychos sane in a single session. Because if you can demonstrate to them that their body can be controlled to that degree, then they get the idea by example, and everything in the bank and association and so forth is categorized by example. Associative reasoning, duplication, so forth, is all by example. You give them the example of a body being controlled. And having given them this example of their body being controlled, they take heart and they say, well, you know, maybe I can control this thing. So heavy, positive control used by you without consulting his power of choice to any degree is better than his bank running him all the time, because that certainly never consulted his power of choice, never even knew it's there. You at least, in never consulting it, at least know it's there. And you'll find that his choice is to control the body. His actual basic choice is to control that body. So his power of choice is not being violated. Even though his bank's objecting. Now, supposing you did this, supposing you found a bad little boy and he was running around in circles and doing nip-ups and biting people and so on. He was just having a bad time. The way the society has handled such a case in the past is to break him of running around in circles and biting people. How'd they do that? Well, they just made him stop. They spanked him every time he did it. And of course, oddly enough, it never cured him of biting people. It submerged him below biting people, and that's all it did. Someday you make him better, and he all of a sudden snaps his teeth at you or something of the sort. This manifestation is liable to come up again. Why? It's been submerged. So the handling of a society by submerging all of its controllability becomes an unworkability, because someday somebody's going to start to make it well, and then everybody will start clawing everybody's eyes out unless it's really being done well. You understand? We have really a tremendous responsibility in Scientology. You've seen pre-clears start up the line. They start up the line, you abandon your control of the pre-clear, and they flip. Wow! It's interesting. You've got to carry them over that point. We can do it rapidly today. All right. Let's take this little boy, and let's do something, this bad little boy that's running around in circles and biting people, and let's do something very, very peculiar. We will say to him, Billy, walk over to that chair and touch it. Now, yow, 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 try to bite, and we actually take our hands. We have uttered the command now. We take our hands and we make his feet walk and his body move over to the chair, and we take his hand and we put it on the chair. and then we tell him, Billy, that's fine. When we say, Billy, that's fine, we give him the idea that he has some capability of doing it. But he fought us the whole way. We had to practically drag him across the floor. And then we say, now, Billy, walk over to that door and touch it. And we take our hands and we walk his body over to the door and we make him touch the door. I mean, he would lie down and scream and stamp his heels and shout and everything else if you didn't walk his hands, you see? I mean, you didn't walk him with your hands. But he didn't have a single obvious volition in the whole thing. You practically dragged him across the room and you made him touch the door. And then you said to him, Billy, that's fine. In the meantime, he's lost one of his shoes in the wrestling match. And you say to him, Billy, go over there and pick up that shoe. And you're not quite sure he heard you this time. You feel he must be getting better. And you say, Billy, go over and pick up that shoe. Did you hear me? Billy, go over and pick up that shoe. Billy, go over and pick up that shoe. And he'll at least glance in that direction. That's your signal to grab hold of his legs and arms and walk him over and reach his hand down and close his fingers over the shoe and pick it up. This is a terrible wrestling match. This is for sure. It should be on TV, probably. And now let's do practically the same thing for about 8 more commands. Do we find a Billy who is in apathy? No, we don't. We find a Billy who is perfectly happy. It's a test you should make. It's a test you should make. Billy did not one of those actions by his own volition, obviously. Yet his volition was actually to cooperate and make the body control him, be controlled. All right. Now, his volition then was evidently interrupted by an auditor hauling him around to this degree. But the auditor didn't shake him. The auditor didn't say, if you don't go over to that chair and touch it, I will spank you. You see, no threats, nothing involved here except positive control. Why use punishment for control when you got hands or can mock up beams? What's the matter with you? Are you lazy? Why tell a preclear, well, I'm not going to audit you anymore if you don't snap into it. But what's the matter with you? You weak or something? Tell a preclear something like that. But threat. Don't try to get him not to do things. Get him to do things. And that's what control is. Control could be said to do. Even stop is doing something. Don't try to make him refrain from communicating. And this is the one point where you'll make a mistake always in the disciplining of children. The whole country suffers from it in the handling of preclearance. You'll try to break him from doing something. You'll try to stop him from doing something. Well, you could also make a mistake if you made him do that thing, like psychoanalysis. They find out somebody is spinning. And they find out somebody is spinning. So they make them go out and have an affair. I mean, total. See, they try to make them do the thing that is causing them to spin. They at least have this dramatization just that far, but that is not a workable fact at all. No, control is the answer to this. You control the being. Not by a mechanism, but directly. You have a thetan trying to control a body. You're setting the example of controlling that body. Now, you can sometimes control a body so superlatively well that you can throw him into apathy. You wouldn't get into his head and do a bunch of acrobatic flip-ups. You know, put one finger in the neck of a bottle and stand, do a one-finger stand and say, now why can't you do that? Why? Because you've not established any ability as far as he's concerned. You've set him an impossible model, and he makes the postulate at once that he cannot do it. Well, when you put your hands on his body and make it do something, then he finds out it can be done. If you drive a car around the block when you're teaching somebody to drive, and then let them drive the car around the block, you'll teach them to drive. You understand? If you fly the airplane and then let them fly the airplane, you understand? They will learn much, much more rapidly. Why? Same thing as you taking your hands and walking a little boy over the chair, or taking a preacher and making him do HC. You follow me? Now I'm afraid all of you have yet to learn, on a subjective basis, that control, good ARC control, you understand? But very positive that nobody could back up against, all by itself will bring a preacher into better tone. We're asking you to fly into the teeth of all the propaganda on the whole track. People want you to be slaves. They say, don't control anybody. Don't control anything. Except us. We're going to control you. Like our friends the Roman Catholic Church always did. The Roman Catholic Church must have failed to control people consistently enough to make it believe it had failed because it invented the Spanish Inquisition, which was, of course, the end of the Roman Catholic Church. That was what? That was obsessive control. They'd gone mad all about that time. Now they're probably on everybody should do as he pleases basis. But that's not right either. Remember that. That's never right. Everybody should do as he pleases. The great beast, 666, do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. Heh. So much for his philosophy, because that is not the whole of the law. Many things why the beast, 666, was quite right. But in that one, boy, was he wrong. No, do what thou canst get away with might be closer to what he was trying to do. But when you are asked to control somebody directly, and when you do control somebody directly, and when you do see that he comes up in tone through having been that positively and directly controlled, and he comes up in tone spectacularly and suddenly, then I will understand that you at last understand what is meant by control. And I don't think anybody just starting into the small end of this thing has any idea of how much control is until he's really been through it. But I can tell you this very, very positively, if you please. This society at this time, by the re-stimulation of radiation in the air and by other factors, economic and political, is getting to a point where to get any individual being to do any part of his job requires an auditor who can run CCH and run it very well. And we might call it auditing here, but in the years to come, you will call it living, and this is why you will be alive, because you understand these things. Thank you.